Get ready to go on a voyage through the depths of consciousness. Expand your awareness and discover perspective unlike anything you have heard before. How far are you willing to expand? Welcome to The Expansion Point with your host, Brad Johnson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of The Expansion Point happening here on BBS Radio tonight. I want to thank you very much for joining me this evening, as we are going to be talking about an exciting topic that is actually all about a new book that I am writing right now that I'm looking to get out probably before the end of the summer this year. And it is going to be called Rainbow Wisdom. And so we're going to be talking about Rainbow Wisdom, just kind of a brief points about what the book is all about tonight, and looking at some really interesting perspective of that. We're also going to have Adronis come in here a little bit later on, and he's going to have a channeling as he's going to be speaking on the perspective as well too, relating to Rainbow Wisdom. So again, The Expansion Point is having its final episode here tonight on BBS Radio. It is going to be continuing onwards, but again, you can check out more details on consciousmatrix.com. Again, it's a very, just all part of a transformation of a cycle. I've really enjoyed BBS Radio here, and I will still definitely be involved with it in one way or another, be it special guest, or you never know what the future holds as well. So again, my appreciation and thanks and love to everybody. Part of the BBS network. It's a wonderful radio show, and I've enjoyed every single minute that I've been able to come on the air and share this perspective with you, and not being able to feel that I need to hold anything back. So it's been very, very rewarding and a very enriching experience as well, too. So again, the website that I'm a part of is consciousmatrix.com, and we got a lot of exciting things happening here in the next little while. There is a new episode, a new show, I guess you could say, that's happening on the Google Plus Hangouts that's going to be called Conscious Matrix Interviews. You can go ahead and tune into that. We do have one coming up tomorrow, and my special guest will be Amateo Ra. But again, you can find out more details there on consciousmatrix.com. And of course, there's always a lot of wonderful sessions and a lot of free videos and free meditation MP3s for you to check out. And of course, a lot of great products as well too. So again, consciousmatrix.com, feel free to check that out. And again, all kinds of amazing things just happening, coming down the pipe, a lot of potentials for events that are happening both physically within British Columbia, Canada, and online. So again, stay tuned for that. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into this evening's program on Rainbow Wisdom. Now, me being a conscious matrix communicator, because that's basically the label that I utilize in the best way that I can share who I am. Because if I was really to give it the standard labels, psychic, energy healer, metaphysical researcher, remote viewer, et cetera, channeler, it goes on and on and on. So basically, I have summarized all of these into the point of being a conscious matrix communicator. Now, a lot of people do not know what a conscious matrix communicator is. And so I basically would just summarize it in a way as one who is looking to become more of their own true self, who is understanding their extensions of who they are and doing what they can to integrate those extensions of consciousness into their lives. And just being able to know that knowledge itself is relative. Truth itself is relative, that there is no the truth, that there is no the knowledge. Everything truly is of that relative-based perspective. And so being in that state of conscious matrix communication, it requires what's known as rainbow wisdom. Now, rainbow wisdom is all about one who is looking into the spectrum of their entirety, of looking into the totality of their own being, one who is able to look into reality, never feeling completely satisfied with the idea of saying, well, this is it, this is the answer, there's no way this is ever going to expand anymore, this is it, this is solid content, I'm going to put a pin in it right now, and that's it. No, it's always about continuing to be in a state of flux, continuing to be expansive, cycling together in harmony with the winds of change. And so when you're looking into the degree of rainbow wisdom, you're looking into the degree that you are playing with the entire spectrum of reality, regardless of its contrast, that we all go through a lot of our dark days, that we basically feel that we jump off of the rainbow and that we feel that we're stuck in this black void. But again, that's all part of rainbow wisdom within itself, is that you're understanding the nature of the rainbow, you're understanding the nature of the spectrum that all reality has of communicating through you. And that even when you're in the void, even when you're in that dark, dark spot, you're still part of a rainbow wisdom effect, because it's when we decide to just kind of sneak ourselves into that corner and feel that we don't deserve the light, that eventually there'll be a time to where our muscles will give out, we'll stop straining ourselves, feeling that we have to just completely smush ourselves into the corner, and we'll say, you know what, no more of this. I'm not going to be playing the victim. I'm not going to be hide and go seek with the light. I'm not going to be feeling that this darkness is all there is to my life. I know that there's something more. And we will reach an expansion point. And that expansion point brings you into rainbow wisdom. Because now you say, no, I'm not going to be cringing in the corner anymore. This is not going to happen. I'm taking my foot, I'm stepping into the light, and I'm going to see exactly what the rainbow is attempting to tell me. And the rainbow just represents all extensions, all perspectives, all catalysts, all aspects of our being that are coming through in our life and helping us to understand that we are playing with a beautiful infinite universe that's all about paradox, that's all about relativity, that's all about perspective, and it's all about experience. And so the rainbow wise really look into the fact that they are constantly in a state of expansion, that they have been able to assimilate a certain form of information now that works very, very well, and that they are becoming a lot more self-empowered, but that's not the end of it. That form of information that serves them now will always have an opportunity to change. So the whole idea is that the rainbow wise are looking into the horizon. They're always kind of looking into the rainbow itself. They're sliding down the rainbow spectrum, and they are continuing to grow, and they are continuing to expand, and they are continuing to be more of a complement to themselves by understanding who they are, by understanding the complements contained within their reality. Because even if people are coming up to us and they may feel very, very negative, or feeling that they're rude, or, you know, doing a lot of ridicule and denial, they're telling us about ourselves, because there's always going to be that critic. There's always going to be that type of person that will be a part of our life in some shape, way, or form. That person may not be a part of our own inner circle, but they will still be in some way a part of our life, because it's us that really critique ourselves, that feel that what we're doing isn't good enough, or what the path that I'm going right now is the wrong one, or I shouldn't be interacting with this person, or I shouldn't be involved in this line of work. And as long as we have those thoughts, even on a minute level, in some capacity, that form of catalyst will come together through our matrix contained within life. And so the rainbow wise understand that. That's the whole nature. And really that's encouraged, because now we're not shy in looking at all the catalysts contained within our lives that are telling us certain aspects about ourselves. Just like when you go into the dream plane at night, you're going to be working together with subconscious projections contained in the dream state that are helping you very symbolically, very metaphorically, to help you understand more about yourself. The same thing applies here, as we were talking about in the dream episode, talking about our dream landscape and talking about the type of people that we're going to meet and the functioning of catalyst. Well, it's the same thing with reality, that we're looking into all of these other subconscious aspects that represent other souls on this planet. And we're basically just going through an enormous dream weaving experiment. And that this dream weaving experiment is all about interacting, mingling with other souls that are still virginized as a part of our reality, to help us understand more about ourselves, to encouraging us to look within. And again, that's why the external exists. It's all about a holographic movie screen where we're living this movie-based life, and we're always looking at other people, and we're getting perspective, we're seeing how they view us, and we're seeing how we view them. And again, we are catalyst for them, and they catalyst for us. And it's all just part of this enormous movie experiment that represents the external. And it's helping us to encourage, like, when are you going to go inside yet? Are you going to actually look inside yourself now? Or do you still have to feel that you're on a search of the external? Do you feel that you're actually going to be able now to go into your innerness and really start to connect and see who you are, to really go into that inner state of reflection? Or are you just, again, very, very awed by the forms of light and holographics and sounds that are contained within physical reality? So again, the rainbow wise understand this and they understand the nature of the complement to all that represents Catalyst. The Rainbow Wise will certainly have challenging days like anybody else, and many people who I've talked to definitely fit into the category of the Rainbow Wise, and that there are a lot of people on this planet with rainbow wisdom. And even again, if they don't realize that, they're not looking at the entire spectrum of the rainbow itself when it comes to reality, when it comes to existence, when it comes to oneness, when it comes to infinity. They still are looking at little bits of colors here and there. Little strands are popping up here and there. And that's all part of being rainbow wise, is to realize that you're dancing within the rainbow spectrum. So that, in a bit of a long form, would represent the idea of rainbow wisdom. One who is always just moving into the flow of reality, understanding their nature, and not feeling that they're sticking on one idea. One who is basically transcending the idea of belief. One is transcending the idea of hope. One who is transcending the idea of faith. One who is transcending the idea of empowerment. These are the Rainbow Wise, because it's not just enough to really look into the idea that you are going through a self-empowerment state. That simply represents a really great quality, because it is really for a lot of us to become self-empowered. But now we're transcending beyond the self, and now we're coming into a state of symbiosis. And that symbiosis is allowing us to now enact ourselves, functioning together as service. And that's the whole idea. Now, you can also refer to this as the all, that really when you move into self, then you look into service. You look into a service with the all, a service as a symbiotic organism, working together with all other organisms. When you move into that state of allness, you then move into a state of oneness. You understand the law of one, the one law. And that's really all there is. That's the only law that exists within all of creation, is the law of one. So again, props to Carla Ruckhart and to everybody who is a part of Love and Light Research, who is able to bring the Law of One books and the raw material out. Because to me, in my own perspective, I feel that's one of the best channeled books out there, that has been out there. So I have learned a lot just being able to reflect on that. I started reflecting on that back in 2008 as well. And it has really, really assisted me majorly in my own ability of channeling, but more so in the idea of channeling, because I don't just consider myself a channeler. Again, being part of Rainbow Wisdom, we are open to all expanses. We are open to all expansion points, and we are open to all channels and avenues that represent the complement of ourselves. And so conscious matrix communication, again, really sums that up as the essence of the Rainbow Wise, because we're just welcoming in the guests that represent our own extensions of beingness, that represent exactly what we can do to interpret ourselves, to help us understand more about who we are. And that's basically what you're doing. The Rainbow Wise are inviting in all the colors of reality to gain a further understanding, but not a solidification, but an understanding about ourselves, and knowing that that understanding will continue to grow and will continue to be relative and will continue to be paradoxical in the way of complement. That's the whole idea. So again, we are transcending past self-empowerment. We are connecting symbiotically to the all, and we are working to become one. Now, again, you can say working to become one, but you know, we really are one. That's the whole idea. But again, if we're looking at it in this form of a process, self-empowerment, symbiosis, connecting together to the all as service and becoming one. Well, how does that happen? How do you connect to the all to become symbiotically of service? How do you become a servious symbiote? Well, the whole idea is that you let the personality step aside. But in order for you to let the personality step aside, you really need to understand that you are more than the personality, because the personality at first needs to be harmonized, and that is harmonized through self-empowerment. In order for you to really understand that, you know, you are worthy, you are valuable, you are completely together with everything that you do, everything that you have holds together a very deep meaning in the center of your heart. And that really represents the state of self-empowerment. Doing everything in life, not because you have to, but because this is who you are. You're following a law of naturalness. And the law of naturalness is simply representing what you would consider to be your highest, truest self. And that basically represents doing things within your reality without hesitation, transcending the boundaries, relating to dogmas, relating to rituals, relating to ceremony, relating to obligations, etc. And again, that's all part of an identity personality, looking into the idea of feeling that I have to do this. I need to put money on the table. I got to put food on my table. I got to do this. I got to do that. Absolutely. You do have to have food on the table. You do have financial stability. You need finances to be part of this reality in many ways. And again, that's the whole idea. So if I can take those caveats relating to finances, relating to food, relating to my shelter, relating to put clothes on myself, you know, relating to looking after my kids, etc. What can I do in the most exciting, complementary way of making all those elements possible? Well, many of us really don't think about that. And we still feel, well, I don't know. I just got to do my 9-to-5 job right now. I'm making a decent paycheck. I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. They're this and they're that and the other thing. But, you know, I'm making a living. I'm surviving. And that's basically how I can see my life right now. All right. That's completely fine, because it's not in rainbow wisdom to judge the feeling that you have to do things a certain way. It's the whole idea that, yes, I absolutely respect what you're doing right now. And that's great. And that's what a lot of us want to do at first, is go in the opposite way. Well, you know what? You deserve better than this. You know, this really isn't, you know, working for you. You know how much it sucks. You know how much it's horrible. You really need to make a change. You really should go in this direction. You really should make this happen. Now, as commendable as that feeling is, basically what that does is that invalidates a state of insecurity between that person who shared this information with you and yourself. So even though you may feel that in that particular statement, there is something that you are doing to be of help, it represents a state of regret. It represents a state of insecurity within that person, saying, well, here I am sharing myself with this, and all I get is shoulds and shouldn'ts. I feel like I'm back at work. You know, I feel like my boss is dealing, you should be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that. Or the same with my coworkers, or the same with my family. Here I am again, going back into the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. So again, even when I'm seeking advice, even when I'm sharing myself, I'm going back into the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. What is going on? You know, have I no complete, you know, value in regards to anything that I'm able to share? That can be much of the typical response when a person who feels that, you know, they want to be a counselor, they want to be therapeutic, they want to assist, is shoving that shouldness right in their face. And that's not the idea. So what is it that represents the idea of how the rainbow wise can affect another who is still attempting to understand that they are part of rainbow wisdom themselves? It's three little words. I love you. I love you for who you are. I love you for everything that you're doing, because I do not need to feel that if you go off into a spiritual quest a year down the road, that I'll really respect you a lot more. I don't feel that if you're making financial stability to the point where you've done it through a harmony, through a naturalness of yourself, that I'll love you even more. I love you for who you are right now, because there is a divinity to the point of the precursor feeling of how one is preparing themselves in their own way to uplift to another reality, rather than the idea of feeling that, well, when you get to that other reality, when you get to my level, oh my God, I'll love your butt off, you know, and I will just, I'll talk to you a lot more, and, you know, we'll work together a lot more, and I'll really start connecting with you a lot more. That is just as conditional as any other type of workforce or any other type of religion or any other type of matter in that sense that has strings attached to it. When you're doing this work as the rainbow wise, you only need to live by the credence of those three words. I love you. I understand you're going through this. I understand you have your 9-to-5 job. I absolutely understand that you're making a living, that you're putting food on the table. You know what, Bob? I love you for who you are right now. Oh my God, thank you so much for that. That's it. You know, after all that I was doing, I feel I was being so hard on myself, and I share myself, and the reaction I get is, I love you. That's awesome. That is so cool. Thank you so much. That's it. That's all you have to do to service as catalyst in regards to a state of compliment. No matter what the person is going through in their life, they could have had their foot run over by a car. You know, they could have had a big puddle splashed of water splashed upon them when they're about to cross the street this morning. They could have got laid off at their job, or they're very sick of their job, or they're not making a lot of money, etc. Whatever the situation is, when you tell them, you know what, I appreciate everything of who you are. I love you very much, man. You're doing a great job. I love you very much, sweetie. You're great. You're wonderful. You're an amazing person. That's it. You have brightened the day. You're not even reflecting back in regards to the shouldness. And that's basically what I refer to it. It's not about the shouldness or the have-tos or the musts. You know, if you really want to get ahead in life, you need to do this. You must do that. You should do that. You know, we hear that all our life. About everything in regards to ridicule, in regards to judgment. The universe does not judge. The universe is not about the idea of saying, oh, hey, Joe, this is the universe calling. We called you through your AT&T long distance savings. Why haven't you upgraded your plan today? You know, to talk to the universe, it's you know, and it's not about dishing out the shoulds and the shouldn'ts. You know, you should have done this instead, or you shouldn't have done this before. This is the voice of God. Ha ha ha. You know, the universe doesn't do that. It's not about feeling that it's going to call you up and say, oh my God, you need to do this. You need to do that. Come on, get your act together. Do I have to come over there and slap you across the face so you can get your act together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's about the idea that the universe is allowing you to explore all the spectrums of reality, even that which represents the absolute darkness, because it's all part of the lesson. It's all part of your natural development. It's all part of who you are. And when you are saying to a person, I completely understand, I love you. That's it. That is more encouragement than you can ever give of saying that, well, here's a solution, here's a solution, here's a solution. A lot of people aren't looking for solutions. They're not. They're looking to be heard. They're looking for their own value to be shared through another person, where that other person understands and acknowledges that value and shows that respect back. I love you. Namaste. The love, the soul, the spirit within me respects and recognizes the spirit, the soul, the love, everything that you are within yourself, the essence to the essence. That's it. That's the mirror exercise that I would love to see each and every single one of you do. Can you go into your bathroom mirror, your bedroom mirror, wherever there's a mirror, just look right into your eyes and just say those three words. I love you. Thank you so much, self, for being here. For allowing me to have this experience, for being in this physicalized body, for being in this physicalized reality, for me to have a journey, for me really to understand more of myself by everybody else that's a part of my reality. I love you. Thank you so much for this experience. You are the best self I could ever ask for. And if you do that, if you're able to share something like that in the mirror, you are well on the course of being that of the Rainbow Wise, because now you're understanding that, yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations in our reality. We're going to have a lot of challenges. We're going to have people who just won't understand what we're going through and want to be able to try and fix your situation, saying, oh, no, 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 you need to get your head out of the clouds. You need to come back to earth, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. You need to stop worrying about this, and you need to start worrying about that. You know, it's like, here's one worry, don't worry about that, but here's a whole new worry for you to look at. You know, what is the point of that? It's not about that. It's not about shoving the feelings of shouldness within a person's face. It's all about the idea of acknowledging and mirroring back that state of love, appreciation, and respect you have for that person. Otherwise, why are you talking to the person? Why is the person willing to share themselves to you? There needs to be a love there. Why do you decide to share yourself back to that person? There's a love there. Love is a requirement in order for sharing, of being able to exchange that form of interface between one person and another, or many groups, whoever it may be. So again, it all starts to the point of really getting to the crux, so to speak, of looking back at the ego. And there's a lot of misunderstanding of the ego and transcending a lot of the primal separation programming. And what I mean basically by that is that when we look at the ego itself, We feel, oh my God, as soon as I look at the ego, horrible curses. You know, I'm going to take a dagger and I'm going to throw at the ego like it's a dartboard, you know, just poof, you know, shooting it at it like a target. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be wiped out. It needs to be obliterated. I need to run away from it, or I just need to ignore it, etc. All of those, as soon as you go with all of those, you're making the ego larger. Simply because the ego itself is not something that represents an inconvenience or a feeling of a misery or something that you're burdened with. On the contrary, the ego has been created to become your ally. It's a memory device. Its entire purpose is to be very, very aware about how you look at reality. What sort of highlights in regards to memory do you enjoy about reality? What skills and practices and natural talents you have? And the ego is able to remind you of this. For you to walk, to talk, to chew your food, to swallow, you know, all the form of the physical actions that make our life convenient, thanks to the ego for that, because the ego is reminding you exactly how you do that. It's now become natural to us. You know, the way that we, you know, talk to people, the way that our personality is, it's all from the ego. The ego is basically this particular device of memory to create this equilibrium of environment. And that's what it's all about. It has been here to help us navigate through life so that we can attain the preservation of experience. That's the point of the ego. That's its original design. That's why it's here. And that many people feel, well, you know, in order for you to transcend, you need to go through ego death. Now, people get very, very confused by that. Does not mean that you are killing your ego. That means that death itself, in that word, basically represents transformation. It represents transforming. So the whole idea is, if you want to move into a transcendence, you want to transcend. You want to move your ego into a state of transformation so that it can become your ally, rather than the idea of feeling that you need to murder it and destroy it and kill it and blow it away, etc. You can't. It's not possible. As long as you're in this reality, from the day that you're born to the day that you pass on through bodily retirement and go back into spirit, you're going to have the ego. It just cannot be escaped through this form of reality. And so the whole idea is, knowing that as you're going to have the ego, why not look into making the ego your ally? And you're doing that by bringing in positive reinforcement. You're looking at all the programs that have been contained in this reality. And it is the programming distortion that has caused the ego to be so bloated. It's like our own computers. You know, if we have a Windows computer or whatever else, and we start getting a lot of this bloatware or malware, etc., well, then our computer is going to have a lot of trouble running smoothly, processing. And that's the same with us. We have a lot of programming, a lot of morality codes, a lot of ethics codes, a lot of the idea of delusionary values, etc. And this is all like a spam bot. This is like an e-bomb. It's like getting hit with thousands of pop-up windows when you're just trying to surf the internet. That's the same thing. Your ego is basically just this computer system that's looking to be cleaned, looking to move itself into a state of a clean slate so that it can operate at peak performance and allow you to look into the depths of how far reality can take you. That's the whole idea. So the transcending of the programs that have been gravitated towards the ego is much of our assignment, and that's what we're doing. But the whole idea is that, again, everybody serves as catalyst. And so we will have those people who are a great inspiration, I love yous, all around. And we will have those people who just want to throw mud in your face and ridicule you for everything. That's great, except that that has happened. That's all you have to do. It's not about saying, "Oh, I'm just going to ignore that person. I'm not going to let them, I'm not going to let them vibrate to my resonance and my level. I'm putting up a vibratory shield here. I cast you out. I smote you. Be gone." You know, it's not about that, because when you look at that, when you go back to that state of that person who's throwing mud in your eye, you know, verbally or what have you, and that you're saying, no, they're just not on my vibratory level. I'm at a higher frequency. I show my Merkaba to them, and I protect myself with the field from their negative energy, and I move on for my day. You haven't done anything. All you've basically done is shroud them out through your own state of inconvenience and feeling that you're putting yourself in a bubble where they can no longer be heard. Have you looked into the idea of understanding that I accept that this person has a criticism of me? I accept that this person is sharing their particular point of view. You know what? Blessings to them. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective, and may it be well with you. That's it. And you're just basically giving the acknowledgement that a person had a problem with you, and it's nothing to do with you at all. And that's the whole thing. I understand that this person was venting at me, and I completely acknowledge his perspective, and I wish him well. It has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with me at all. I simply represent a catalyst to that person's reality where they see someone like me in regards to my vibration, and it does not compute with them, and it transforms into anger, it transforms into denial, it transforms into ridicule, it transforms into ignorance, whatever it may be. That's just part of their reflection. You don't have to put up a bubble. You don't have to feel that you have to throw sage at them and, you know, whatever it is. They are there because that's catalyst, and that the catalyst is attempting to explain something to you. This is how a person sees you. This is a part of yourself. Acknowledge that that's a part of yourself. Bring it into the light and continue on with your life. That's it. That is transcendence of ego in regards to distortion-based programming. So you're helping to remove a lot of the distorted programming by coming into positive reinforcement. I understand that that person exists. I understand that that perspective of that person exists. That's it. You want acknowledgement. Acknowledgement can be one of the greatest forms of positive reinforcement into your life, rather than feeling that you want to chuck sage at their head, or you want to, you know, throw a Merkaba metal statue that you made and you know, impale them with it, you know, whatever it is you want to do. Put yourself in white light, or put yourself in a higher violet vibration, etc. And feeling that, no, I didn't hear that. That guy did not just tell me I sucked. He did not just tell me he hates me. You know, that's all. Oh, that's it. You know, and that's what the programming distortion wants our ego to be triggered towards. All right, well, here's retaliation. Here's defiance in my face of someone who is opposed to me living my lifestyle. And I have to go, oh, I'm going to give him a good one. I'm going to deck his noggin off right, you know, right now. Or, you know, oh, just don't worry about it, dear brother. You know, just light up some sage around you. Put up a higher vibrational 12D shield and you're fine. Just go on about your day. No. Because that is feeling that you're not transcending the discomfort of yourself. You're burying it. You're putting it on a mask. That particular regime is no different than filling your own mouth with prescription medication and feeling that you need to mask the problem. That's not the key here. It's looking into the idea that you are understanding, giving that acceptance and realizing, I acknowledge that person exists. Do I feel that his particular form of perspective is valid to me? Well, no, because that's how that person sees me, but I have acknowledged that point, and I forgive that. I forgive that feeling of acknowledgement. So now that I've forgiven it, that whole ridicule, that whole malcontent of how that person sees me passes through me like a ghost. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge your perspective, brother. Thank you so much. May it be well with you. And now it's passed through me because, again, has nothing to do with me. I saw an aspect of myself that I was uncomfortable with. I didn't need to destroy it. I didn't need to put up shields because I was insecure with me dealing with it. No, I looked at that particular perspective of me and it has healed me. It really has represented a part of me that I now acknowledge. Well, there's a part of me inside, within me, that exists just like that person. I admit that. I admit there's times where I'm insecure. I admit there's times to where I have ridicule, or I admit there's times where I have judgment. That person is just reminding me of those bits that I have. Thank you so much. May it be well with you. That's it. That's the positive reinforcement. And you're continuing to do that through all facets of your life in regards to your money. I admit I am super insecure with my money. I admit I feel that I have been part of a job that's not paying me too well and that I feel I'm not getting the most value out of. I admit that. And I feel I've done that because this is what I felt was the best that I could get. oh my God, doesn't that feel better? And I say that out loud to myself because that's a trueness, so to speak, with my own situation. I've worked with many jobs that I felt so super insecure with and that I couldn't, you know, make a good living with. And that I said, well, I guess this is all I deserve. I guess this is all I can go into. It's this job and that's it. And so when you really admit to that to yourself, really being able to, again, play with befriending your admittance, this is where the ego starts to deflate. It now comes into the point where it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And it's like the two of you are just convened at this dinner table and you're looking at the files of your life. And the ego is going to say, well, are you going to admit the truth about that? Oh, what truth? I didn't do anything wrong. It's like you're trying to take the folder and throw it off the table. We didn't look at that part. You know, we didn't see anything there. Let's move on. Right? And then the ego is going to be ridiculing you because you're not looking at that aspect. Hey, don't ignore that. This was something that was a part of your life. This is something that you still hold as very strongly important within yourself. You need to look at that. And the ego is going to get up from the table. He's going to pick up that folder and he's going to put it back on the table and said, look at it. This is it. You want me to be deflated? You want to take all this bloatware and malware out of me? You need to look at every single folder of yourself and admit to yourself, this is part of me. This is who I am. This is part of what I've done. Doesn't mean I'm going to stay in that alignment. This is all part of the admittance process so that I can transcend. And that's the whole idea. That's the whole nature of the beast, as it were. But now the beast is becoming angelic. And so when we are able to face our beasts directly in the face and that we say, I admit that you're part of me and I love you. Thank you for being the beast, for showing me exactly who I am inside of who I no longer want to be. And that's the state of forgiveness. And that's where transcendence happens. That's ego death. That's the idea of ego transcendence. That's the idea of rebalancing the ego. So now it serves to you as an ally. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and your ego is getting excited along with you? Oh my goodness, we're going to have the most amazing day today. We're going to go and we're going to do our job. We love what we do. Our work is awesome. Let's get started. Yeah, I love that idea. Now the ego is your ally and now you're working together. Now it feels great to have an ego. Feels great to have the ego that's working alongside you, that's dancing alongside you and saying, hey, this is great. Let's go ahead and do this. Hey, remember to go into the mirror and tell you how much you love yourself before you get started. Oh, ego, thank you so much for sharing that with me. That's great. And I'm going to do that. Great. Now the ego is your best friend. Now it's your ally. Now it's no longer inflated with all this bloatware because you're not acknowledging the aspect of yourself. The forms of primal separation programming are now alleviated. And now the ego can breathe. And now you can breathe. And that's the whole idea. Making the ego your ally and living through positive reinforcement. All right? Then, of course, there's the other matter. As we are going throughout our daily lives, we're going through what's known as, what Adronis has referred to as, the amalgamation effect. The multitudes of themes in one life is your version of experiencing multidimensionality. That's the whole idea. It's not about you feeling that you're very, very singular. You know, what are your likes and your dislikes? Those are all multidimensional facets. Do you have many interests, many job interests, a lot of projects that you get through? Oh yeah, I love writing. I love playing music. I love dancing. I love my spiritual practice. I love counseling. I love healing. I love meditation. I love yoga, etc. These are all facets that have amalgamated themselves together with you through the amalgamation effect because now you are living multidimensionally. A lot of people feel that, well, you know, when we're in multidimensions, our vision is going to change. You know, it's kind of like looking at a honeycomb that we're going to see multiple frames at the same time or that we're going to see overlays of different forms. It's not about that. Multidimensionality comes into you being able to expand your palette of experience. When you have multiple experiences coming through in regards to the facets and themes that you're personally exploring, that you have a personal interest, you are multidimensional. You are moving into these different facets, other lives, so to speak, other perspectives that may be from other earths, may other dimensions, other planets, other stars, other galaxies, other realms of consciousness, etc., are all now starting to amalgamate themselves together with you. Same when we have dreams at night, we may feel that we go back to Egypt and that we're, you know, performing alchemical ceremonies, or that we're attending a psychic mastery school, or watching the pyramids being constructed. And there's something about our lives that relate back to that. That's an amalgamation effect. That's the whole idea of looking at the multitude of themes that have expressed our interest in our life that's coming together. And we're looking at these multiple facets of ourselves. That's fourth density. That's the whole idea of looking into these themes about what we're carrying with us. But again, because we still constrain ourselves to the facet of space and time, we feel, well, I'm just looking at this in a singular state perspective. In a way, you are, because it is all part of anchoring together with the theme, the overall collective theme of this reality. But all those little bits, all those tiny facets of themes that can be microcosmic or macrocosmic in the relation to the theme of your overall oversoul of your life, then this is a multidimensional experience. This is you becoming fourth density. This is you attaining an amalgamation effect to help you understand all of the different facets that you prefer, that you enjoy pursuing through yourself. And that's amalgamation. That's coming together and merging all of these themes. I'm a painter. I'm an artist. I'm a dancer. I'm a singer. I'm a musician. I'm a teacher. I'm a ballerina, whatever it is. You know, all of these different facets are part of an amalgamation effect. So again, that's what we're going through right now. This is how our reality is transforming. We're becoming a lot more fascinated with a lot of different things. We're meeting a lot of new people in our life that we seem very fascinating. We're starting to get new ideas and new innovations about how we can improve our life that complements self-empowerment. That again, as we look into the retrospect of all of this and see how it connects together, how synchronicity plays together as an ally, that's rainbow wisdom. That's the whole idea of seeing how everything intricately connects and seeing the complement of everything, even when something feels disgraceful, even when something feels like it's in despair. That's the whole idea of rainbow wisdom. All right, so now I'm going to go ahead and bring Adronis through, and he's going to be giving his perspective on rainbow wisdom as well too. So he'll be coming in and doing a channeling here for a few minutes. And for anybody that is tuning in, and if by chance you would like to call in live and just offer your perspective or any questions, by all means, feel free to call in the station here. Phone number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. If you'd like to say hi, I'm happy to say hi back. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bring Adronis in for this small channeling, and we will get started. So one moment, please. We are here at this time, and we bid you greetings, and thank you very much for the opportunity of this interaction today. I am Adronis of Sirius, sending love, appreciation, and gratitude to all who are tuning in to this particular broadcast being brought forward through your internet collective consciousness. We have been asked by the conduit to share our particular perspective as what he has derived as what is known as rainbow wisdom. Now, the whole idea in regards to our particular perspective of rainbow wisdom is how we naturally exist. Is that there is no longer the idea of confines in any shape or form. We are not just talking about the idea of space and time. We are not talking about the idea of the puzzling of randomness that creates confusion. It is the idea that you are no longer concerned about the tomorrow or guilty of the yesterday. That you are here together in this very moment. For the moment itself is all that exists, and that like yourself, being placed within a boat and sailing the seas, you are allowing the current to guide you to all of these aspects contained within the moment, all perspectives together as one. And so there is no longer the feeling of apprehension or the feeling of despair or the feeling that you are unworthy or unvaluable to yourself. You understand the nature in regards to how the universe works, that there is no definition in regards to the statement of value, that value simply is the consensus of all, that we are all part of everything in order for the universe to become infinite. So it's no longer a question of saying, well, Adronis, did you have to come to terms with your value? No, because value doesn't exist where we are. Did you have to come to terms in regards to any judgments, any ridicule that took place? No, because they are completely absent from our reality. We do not hold that in the degree because that does not exist. We understand, that you acknowledge, shall we say, the idea that these particular facets within your reality exist. And that's completely fine because that is all part of you attaining contrast in regards to you surfing through rainbow wisdom. And that really is, again, part of the rainbow wisdom effect, that you are coming together and understanding that all of these facets that you are placing upon yourself must be termed in a dialogue that represents definition in order for them to understand better. As the conduit shared with you in the beginning of this broadcast, that basically the rainbow wise do not feel that they are satisfied to the point of reaching a standpoint relating to a definition. That definition only serves for the moment. And that in the next moment, it has the possibility for transformation. So if we're saying that to you, that you are valuable, that may mean something to you right now. In the next day, in the next week, as you understand time to be, functioning in your own linear time reality, that may mean something completely different. The whole idea is that meaning is relative as well. That you all hold different definitions pertaining to words, pertaining to ideas, and that they only serve a purpose in the moment because it is helping yourself to reach a whole new octave relating to how you understand reality, how you understand the universe. And so rainbow wisdom simply allows yourself to be here and now. It is the appreciation, the love, the blessings that you hold in regards to everything that reality has of sharing itself with you, of everything that the universe has of sharing itself with you, that the only trueness relating to what is absolute that shares itself in relativity is the law of one. And that's the key. That's the only law you're ever going to experience, because that's the only, shall we say, finite infinity paradox, that you are all one. That the one is all, that the one is all, that the all is one, that the all is one. That's the whole key. And that's all that you will ever experience relating to a trueness, relating to law. So the whole idea here is really looking into everything that you have constituted as absolute knowledge to see what you can do to make that knowledge relative. Because that's really what knowledge is. There is no the truth. There is only truth. In regards to the state of relativity, a personal truth, an individual truth, a group truth is still relative in all its own ways because you have termed the definition to be valid. You have termed your particular forms of lives, of how you decide to live, as part of something that you consider to be valid. You orchestrate your life in regards to the parameters of what you feel your individualistic qualities permit, and that is validation. And so, what do you feel you have to do to transform that, to bring forward validation of expansion rather than the idea of validation of stagnancy, based upon us saying, well, this is a hard-coded term. This term is a cement block. It is solidified. It's already placed within the wall. It cannot be broken. Your validation holds that in effect. And so the whole idea is that it can certainly be liquefied in the way of it being able to transcend into something more relative, but you have not decided that in this moment it is the time for that to happen. So even though you have certainties in the moment, they are relative because they only serve as certainties within the moment. Does not matter in regards to how well you warrant that idea in this moment. They always have this state of changing as you are existing within a space and time nexus. So the whole idea here really is coming back to the point. And that point represents the idea of the rainbow wisdom is complete centering here in the now. It is all that you can be, all that you understand, all that you acknowledge, all that you can explore, all that you can be in stillness here and now. That is our perspective of rainbow wisdom. We thank you very much for the opportunity of this interaction today. I am Adronis of Sirius, sending love, appreciation, and gratitude to all who are tuning into this transmission being brought forward through your internet collective consciousness. Thank you very much. Farewell for this timing, and we now return to the conduit. We will speak to you again in the infinite moment of now. Goodbye. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, again, for a really wonderful show tonight. Again, I've really enjoyed all of these episodes that have been a part of the expansion point here on BBS Radio. It's kind of like just seeing, you know, a bunch of your children in regards to all of the episodes that have been covered. And for those who have called in the past and shared their perspective, thank you so much for being a part of the expansion point. And again, all definitions are transformational. And so basically everything is going to transform, and that includes the expansion point. So again, feel free to check out consciousmatrix.com for what is happening with the expansion point, for what's happening with the Conscious Matrix interviews, events coming up, sessions, free videos, free MP3 meditations, etc. A whole bunch to explore there on consciousmatrix.com. Thank you so much for, again, tuning in to this broadcast, whether you're listening to it live or listening it to the archive. Nonetheless, blessings to you. May it be well with you. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap up tonight's show. And again, a big thanks and love and appreciation to BBS Radio. Make sure you guys continue to support them. They're doing an amazing job. All right. Thanks again, guys. Have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. May it be well with you. Namaste. Take care.